Extreme weather and natural disasters have an indelible impact on our cultural memories. Over the past couple of days, we've seen what's happened in the Northern Territory and Queensland as they brace themselves for the onslaught of cyclones Marsha and Lamb. One of the hardest things about rebuilding in the wake of a natural disaster is the transitional nature of existence, infrastructure, homes, even communities. But transitional architecture aims to apply a creative response to a human problem. In the period after the 2011 Christchurch earthquake, a group of architects calling themselves Gap Filler set about creating quirky, temporary architecture. They used cheap and recycled materials and set up in spaces, vacant city lots around the city, trying to give people an opportunity to be involved in the rebuilding. In the intervening years, the project has taken off. Annie Hastwell caught up with how the movement has grown since the events of 2011.
A state of emergency has been declared in New Zealand's second largest city, Christchurch, after a huge earthquake
struck. New Zealand's earthquake horror.
We begin in Christchurch.
Tomorrow marks 4 years since Christchurch was rocked by a deadly earthquake. It killed almost 200 people and destroyed most of the centre of what had been a sedate English-style city.
It was extremely surreal. We were up on the hill and looking out, and there were vast swathes where it was just black, and then there were searchlights on and the buildings that they were going for, and it was very kind of emotional and stressful. And
like, I can still hear it. If I, you know, I cast my memory back, it's not just about feelings, it's about the whole phenomenological experience of it. The world shook and you shook with it.
Christchurch is still far from being rebuilt. The local news is full of arguments about insurance and differences of opinion about the city's future. But there has been one enduring success story to rise among the ruins, one that had its beginnings in those first dark days and weeks after the event.
We just wanted to do something with the skills that we had. We thought, what kind of creative response can we do? And, you know, to bring people together and create a social space, there felt a real need to do things together.
Christchurch architect Andrew Just and a few creative friends decided to experiment by adding the most basic of infrastructure to an empty site. And people came.
Coffee, films and some artificial grass, that was it. 10 days later, we put this thing on and it just morphed into this bizarre beast, you know, with like 36 bands playing and poetry readings and puppet shows and dance things. And it was also just a place to hang out. But what was interesting is it was a place that people came to do things. It wasn't just a consumptive exercise or event, and everything was free.
It was the beginnings of Gap Filler, a creative collective started with the aim of getting things happening in a city grieving for its lost centre. An old fridge full of secondhand books, sitting on an empty block with a bit of carpet and a few chairs, still operates as a well-used outdoor library. A pavilion made from wooden pallets became a music venue. And they set up a mobile dance floor known as the Dancer Mat, probably the best known Gap Filler project since Prince Charles and Camilla took a turn on it.
Dancer Mat, one of the criticisms was that, you know, great idea, but people in Christchurch don't dance in public or won't dance in public, and 6 hours of use a day, you know, 6 out of 10 hours, you know, and so Christchurch has a reputation for being conservative, but often reputation's kind of a self-generating, I feel. So put this out there and, you know, well, actually, no, it's not that conservative, this is quite popular, and, you know, and you're starting just a slightly different trajectory potentially.
One of the ones that really does create an invitation and change the way people are feeling at the time is the idea of a mobile grandstand. Can you describe that? And also quite an architectural idea, how architecture makes people behave in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's it's a lovely project as well because it brings all of those disciplines together actually in how it's been formulated. A grandstand is such a familiar thing, and to sit and watch sport, that's what you do in a grandstand. But as soon as you transform that and use those kind of sports conventions to look at something else, like, you know, the construction of a building or a city issue or a demolition or something like this, and as soon as you bring in those conventions around, say, you know, the observing or the entertainment that is, you know, with the grandstand, and as you just mentioned, the architecture, like, it's so spatial, you know, it was deliberately spatial. It had to have a roof and it had to get up a certain height to get that sense of space. But then, you know, with the binoculars, and there's this kind of scrutinising, and then there's always commentary, and that's kind of an interpretation and also in a way, kind of a demonstration. But then a scoreboard is also then about judgment. And so, you know, you can suddenly say, well, that's a good building construction, or it's a bad building construction or something, you know. So it's an interesting exercise, but it's also that playfulness. You know, you can imagine how absurd it is having this giant grandstand, parked on the street looking at a building. You know, it's just, and again, it's that kind of, that slightly absurd but playful, but quite thought-provoking combination of things.
The work of Gapfiller and Christchurch's flowering of temporary structures now attracts attention from all over the world. Local architectural historian Jessica Halliday was an early fan.
It is playful, but it is, also has a serious, quite earnest intent as well. It manages to be both, and which is a really powerful thing. In place of, windswept, vacant, anonymous sites come these outrageous creative projects.
In 2012, Jessica founded Festa, an annual event which takes transitional architecture very seriously indeed.
I think the fact that it's temporary gives it a certain license. You know, they're low-risk, low-cost projects. They might have high impact for a short space of time, but you can take risks. It's a really good testing ground for taking, does this work here? What kind of community centre would work here? What kind of public activity can we have in the city? Dancing? Who would have thought? Nobody ever before the earthquake. So, and actual just community engagement in architecture. And that ultimately is what Fest is about. It's about engaging the public of Christchurch in a conversation about their own city. You know, it's so, I think architecture is too esoteric for most people. They're just like, God, it's nothing to do with me. I'm never going to commission an architect. It's something that I don't have millions of dollars. It's separate from my life, without understanding how deeply it affects them. And if anything showed us how deeply the urban realm and architecture affects our lives, it was the Christchurch earthquake, because it was so, that's what was impacted largely, was the physical fabric of the city. So this is an opportunity to say to people, hey, remember, this isn't just about you and your home. It's about you actually being invested personally in decisions that are made about our cities.
We can bring change. We can bring change.
That's Dr. Jessica Halliday. She's an architectural historian and founder of the Festival of Transitional Architecture. Incidentally, this year they're setting up a permanent centre for architecture and placemaking. You also heard the voice of Andrew Just, who's an architect and founder of Gapfiller, and they were both talking to Annie Hastwell, who's reporting there from New Zealand. We're going to pick up some of the themes from that story further next week. I'm going to be talking about humanitarian architecture with Esther Charlesworth. She's one of the founders of Architects Without Frontiers.